Welcome to Delight in Grace, the teaching ministry of Rich Powell, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. You've heard the expression, work hard, play hard. Well, both working and enjoying are built into this life that God has given us. In Ecclesiastes 11, Solomon offers us wisdom for both areas, reminding us that both our work and play must be anchored in an accurate view of eternity and a submission to our Heavenly Father. Let's listen in. Today's broadcast is the second part of the study on Ecclesiastes 11. It was originally preached on July 22, 2018 at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. You can hear more at www.delightingrace.com.
What happens when a tree dies? It dies. You're going to die. And when you die, whether it's to the north or the south, whatever your reputation is, see yourself in that casket. Well, I never, Rich. Well, probably not, but do it anyway. Death should not be a taboo subject. It is not in Scripture, so it should not be to us. It is a reality, and that's the whole point of Solomon. You can't make sense of the journey. You cannot live life well until you've come to grips with the fact that this life is short and you're going to die. Because that informs how we live now. And so when that tree falls, what's going to be the reputation of the tree? All your loved ones looking at you in the casket. Was this person a sower? Or was this person a consumer? There's much that we can learn there. When life is done, did you give or did you take? Were you about self-indulgence or were you other-focused? I was just reading this morning. I checked the headlines in the morning and just to see if there's anything important that I need to know about going on in the world and stuff like that that might need to be addressed and whatever. And I come across this article. It was written by Heather Delaney. She writes a blog. And it was in the context of a dear friend of their family was in their wedding with her and her husband, and this man was in their wedding. His name is Dennis. He died at 39 years old. Next Friday would have been his 40th birthday. Heather writes this. She said, "His passing has sent me down into a trench of questions, guilt, and doubt. Questions about if I am there for my friends. I get caught up in life, marriage, parenthood, work life, and all of the demands that those things bring. But, regrettably, I do not do those check-ins with my friendships. It's not that my friends don't mean everything to me, because, trust me, they really, really do. I have just felt like they always, and here's the point, I have just felt like they will always be there, no matter what." And that's the point, isn't it? We can take our friendships so much for granted that we just assume they will always be there. And they won't. They will not. Dennis's passing has brought me to the brutal realization that they will not be under the sun. So what does she say? After saying other things, she says, "Take that moment, I beg you, do nothing more than make a phone call. Just make a phone call. Just let them know that you are thinking of them. And call, don't text. Don't text. Not even an email. Call them. Better yet, face to face. Set up a coffee date. Schedule dinner. Let them know that you care. Let them know that they are important to you." You know what that is? That's sowing. That's sowing. That's sowing into somebody's life. So we should sow generously. We should sow with generosity. Not only that, but in verses 4 to 6, Solomon teaches us that we should sow with diligence. We should sow with diligence. Verse 4, "He who observes the wind will not sow, he who regards the clouds will not reap." What is he talking about there? Now, we understand that good farming practices mean that you don't plant when the wind is blowing really hard, and you don't reap when it's raining, generally speaking, right? But the sense of the verse here is that somebody is so focused on watching the weather so closely that there is so little time for them because they want those perfect conditions in order to sow and to reap. They're just waiting for the just right conditions, the right circumstances, for them to seize the moment and take the action. That's not the kind of job I want. I don't feel self-actualized in it. It's not for me. I'm waiting for the right job to come along. Let me tell you something. Jobs don't just come along. Here's another one. Some will say, well, the Lord hasn't revealed to me what I have to do. You know how many times I've seen God blamed for people's laziness? Don't do that. Just waiting for exactly that. Here's a key one in terms of relationships. Young people, well, you know, I'm just waiting for that perfect person to come along. Truthfully, if you're waiting for the perfect person to come along, you're going to be waiting the rest of your life. Right? Here's where it goes wrong. Right? Because that's very self-centered ultimately, isn't it? If you're waiting for that perfect person for me, what is that saying? Do you know where the problem lies? And I do a lot of counseling, marital counseling, premarital counseling. And the whole point of it is, it's not so much about you finding that perfect person. It's about you being the person you were called to be. Now, that could be revolutionary. Do you know why people come into counseling? Because it's always the other person's fault. It's always the other person's fault. Here's another one. Waiting for just the right circumstances. There's just so much going on, I just don't have time to worship. Whether it's at home, privately, or corporately with God's people. I don't have time to worship. There's just too much going on. Really? What's important? Are you that myopic? Is stuff that important to you? You need to think about that. Because you know what happens when you worship? You sow seeds into people's souls. When you worship, you sow seeds into people's souls. Your own, to begin with, right? But also, part of worship is being there. Your presence helps others in their communion with God. Your personal worship at home, are you too busy to have your quiet time, to read scriptures and commune with God? Then listen to me, listen to me. You're too busy. You need to understand the things that are truly important in life. Diligence. Sow with diligence, with generosity and diligence. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. You see, it is a principle of Scripture. And so, with the diligence, the generosity and diligence that we sow in life, we speak into people's lives, we listen to them, we give ourselves to them, our time, our ears, our helping hands, our walking feet, an encouraging word. Listen, do you know the power of an encouraging word? How many of you need encouragement this morning? How many of you came here needing encouragement? Then what I recommend is this. You find somebody and encourage them. And watch God do the principle of reciprocity. Luke 6:38, Proverbs 10 and 13. He who waters will himself be watered. We need to sow with generosity. We need to sow with diligence. And you need to sow your seed. Do not withhold your hand, he says in verse 5. Verse 6, in the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. In other words, he is calling us to diligent, generous stewardship in the routines of life. Yes, life does have its routines, and we should not shun them. That structure is good. It is necessary. But in those routines, let's make sure that we don't minimize them, thinking that serving God is something different than doing the routines of life. In your routines of life, be a generous sower. Parents, in the routines of home, be a generous sower of truth and grace into the lives of your children. Spouses, generous sowers of truth, grace, forbearance, and forgiveness in the lives of each other. We cannot count on the calculations of life. We cannot count on the expected outcomes. As he says, you do not know which will prosper, but we are called to generous stewardship of the routines of life. But in that, with those daily doldrums of those routines, there is always a wonder of life, isn't there? Because there are things that happen that you cannot explain, even in the routines of life. God gives the increase, Paul says. One sows, another waters, but it is God who makes the plant grow. And the seeds that you sow, as you sow generously and broadly and diligently, it is God that gives the increase. And because He is the one who gives the increase, we see in the stuff of life, in the routines of life, and what comes of that, we see the sovereign providence of God.
Thanks for joining us here at Delight in Grace. You've been listening to Rich Powell, the lead pastor at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. The Delight in Grace mission is to help you know that God designed you to realize your highest good and your deepest satisfaction in Him, the one who is infinitely good. We hope you'll join us again on weekdays at 10 a.m.